The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
It's another edition of the Cool Stuff Ride Home podcast. I'm Marcus Paff. He's Reggie Rizzou. On today's episode, the Palace of Alexander the Great is reopening after 16 years. Plus, a new subspecies of Tyrannosaur is found. Also, this day in history, an advancement for transferring goods via trains. Coming up, it's Cool Stuff Ride Home. If you've never heard of iGuy, you're not alone. I'd never heard of it either. But if you're like me, when you find out what it was or is, you're going to find it pretty cool. iGuy is a palace in the capital city of ancient Macedonia, built more than 2,300 years ago, that belonged to Alexander the Great, the ancient Greek king of Macedonia. And it was just recently reopened to the public after 16 years of renovation. A bit more on Alexander. At just 20 years of age, he succeeded his father, Philip II, an event that took place in 336 BC. His palace, which per GNN is similar to the U.S. Capitol building in terms of square footage, was the largest building in classical Greece and served as the setting for any number of war councils and celebratory feasts. It was also where Alexander was coronated king upon his father's assassination. Now, after being crowned, he spent the next 10 years locked in a military campaign in Western Asia and Egypt, and by age 30, he created one of the largest empires the world has ever known. Alexander was undefeated in battle and is therefore considered by many to be one of the greatest military commanders in history, all this despite dying at the age of just 32. Per the Associated Press report, iGuy is shaped like two adjoining unequally sized square donuts and served as the administrative and spiritual center of the Macedonian kingdom, end quote. At one time, the ancient structure contained column-rimmed courtyards, courts, places of worship, and spacious banquet halls with floors decorated with patterned marble and intricate mosaics. It was first excavated in the 1970s and recently required around $20 million worth of restoration, thus the reopening after 16 years of being worked on. It doesn't say this in the story, but I have to imagine it is an especially delicate situation when you're dealing with materials that are that old and have been at least in part buried underground for centuries. More on that in a moment. Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis, and I apologize for not having a great pronunciation there, but said in the inauguration event, quote, "After many years of painstaking work, we can reveal the palace. What we are doing today is an event of global importance," end quote. When it was first unearthed approximately 50 years ago, iGuy was covered by shallow mounds with lots of poppies and daffodils growing. Not only did archaeologists discover more of the palace itself as they began their dig, but also several royal tombs, including a gold casket and other gold artifacts, as well as bones widely believed to belong to Philip II, Alexander's father. To give you a better idea of what this place and task look like, iGuy features a large central chamber supported by marble columns and is surrounded by 15 smaller chambers, many of which feature complete mosaic floors. Archaeologists and restorers speaking to the Associated Press about the project said much of the palace's remains had to be reassembled over years of excavation and guesswork. Now the palace and much of the surrounding area are part of a UNESCO heritage site, and the new museum on the premises houses many of the relics found in Philip's tomb and those of his retainers and nobles. Pretty cool to think about, and something that if you are in Greece at any point in the near future, might be a cool spot to go visit. Before we wrap this story up, I have a few fun facts to share about Alexander the Great per Historyville.com. He was a redhead, at least a mild redhead, according to Aelian, a Roman rhetoric teacher of the 2nd to 3rd century AD, who wrote in Greek, Alexander the Great's hair color was reddish blonde and curled naturally. He was tutored by Aristotle. When you're from a royal family, so to speak, you have benefits not afforded to others. I think that's something that extends into modern times. Alexander had one of the best educations of the time when his father decided to tutor him under the guidance of Aristotle, one of the biggest names in contemporary philosophy, of course. As mentioned earlier, he never lost a battle in nearly 15 years as a military leader, a career that predates his leadership as king, having secured his first victory at the age of 18, insane. He named a city after his horse. Alexander tamed a wild horse named Bucephalus when he was a kid. He loved that horse so much that when it died in 326 BC, he renamed a city in India after the animal. His death remains a bit of a mystery. On May 29, 323 BC, Alexander the Great went to a dinner party thrown by one of his close confidants. After an evening of heavy drinking, he started to feel unwell and went to bed with a rising fever. You assume, all right, maybe because of the alcohol, things not going so well, I'm going to go lie down. Well, 12 days later, one of the most famous conquerors in human history was proclaimed dead at the age of 32. Some modern medical experts suggest his death may have been the result of a malarial infection, while others have suggested he suffered from Guillain-Barré, an autoimmune disorder affecting the nervous system. That's Guillain-Barré syndrome. Hopefully I'm, again, pronouncing that correctly. Regardless of what caused his death, he had one of the most expensive funerals of all time. Again, per Historyville, the entire funeral would have a cost of, in today's currency, $600 million. Wow. I mean, there have been some revered individuals in modern history to have big-time funerals, but $600 million worth of stuff is absolutely insane, and it tells you how revered he was by his people at that point in time. So pretty wild, Reg. And like I said earlier, maybe something to put on your list of things to do should you be in the area of Greece at any point in the near future.
It is on my to-do list of places to visit, but I do have two thoughts on this. First, what a weird way to describe a building, two square-shaped donuts. Not my first thought of...
That's what you took from this!
The other thought is, I might go by Reggie the Great, because I haven't lost a battle yet either. I mean, I haven't been in any, but I haven't lost one, so, you know.
You're just smart enough to solve all problems with rhetoric. I mean, that's why.
Right. That's right.
No battles needed.
Reggie the Great.
All right, we'll note that in tomorrow's Open.
All right, sounds good.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
In a groundbreaking revelation, researchers have identified a new species of Tyrannosaurus, challenging previously held beliefs about the dinosaur's origins and evolution. The newly named species, I'm probably going to butcher this, T. macrinensis, is considered the closest known relative of the T-Rex, shedding light on the murky history of the iconic dinosaur. The results of the discovery, which were published in the scientific journal Nature, came from incomplete skull and jaw fossils that were found in New Mexico in the 1980s. The massive jawbone and pointy teeth were unveiled at the New Mexico Museum of Natural History and Science, captivating audiences, including school children. Paleontologist Spencer Lucas, a co-author of the study, said, "We thought it was anatomically different enough that it deserved to be a new species," end quote. The newly identified Tyrannosaur predates the T-Rex by approximately 6 to 7 million years and shares comparable size, measuring about 40 feet long. This finding challenges previous theories that the Tyrannosaurus migration to North America from Asia, suggesting a potential origin in the Southwest. Lucas said, quote, "This fossil suggests something different may have been going on. The Tyrannosaurus is in North America millions of years earlier than we knew it was here. Therefore, it is quite possible that Tyrannosaurus originated in North America, and not just North America, but in the Southwest," end quote. The overall analysis suggests the new subspecies was a side branch in the Tyrannosaurus evolution rather than a direct ancestor of T-Rex. Since the T-Rex had no close relatives in North America, co-author Sebastian Dellman wanted to re-examine the species, collect it from southern New Mexico. That work started in 2013 when he was a student and was obviously finally unveiled here about 10 years later. Thomas Richard Holtz, a paleontologist at the University of Maryland, who was not involved in the study, said, quote, "One great hindrance in solving this question is that we don't have good fossil sites and the right environments in Asia older than Tarbosaurus and Zeuchnotyrnus, so we can't see if their ancestors were present there or not," end quote. He added that more fossils from the New Mexico region could help answer some of these questions. Now, there is plenty of skepticism surrounding the study's conclusions, with some experts questioning the distinctiveness of the new species from T-Rex. Jared Voris from the University of Calgary, again not part of the study, expresses hesitation in accepting the new species, highlighting the need for further examination of the original fossil. He pointed out that some of the anatomical features that the study uses to indicate this as a new species can also be found in specimens of T-Rex. Nick Longrick, a co-author from the Milner Center of Evolution at the University of Bath in the United Kingdom, says the differences are subtle, but that is common in species that are closely related. Quote, "Evolution slowly causes mutations to build up over millions of years, causing species to look subtly different over time," end quote. Spencer Lucas welcomes the skepticism. Quote, "Hopefully what will happen now, the doubters, maybe even the supporters, will want to come and study the original fossil to make their own assessments of how anatomically distinct it is. Do I agree with all the anatomy reported?" He added, "That is the way science will progress," end quote. So one of the most popular dinosaurs in the world, you know, between movies, TV shows, books, all of that, one of the most popular dinosaurs may have a relative that actually originated in North America.
Yeah, it's always fascinating to hear some of these stories about dinosaurs, what scientists believe may or may not have happened. Look, I'm a big believer in science, but at the same point in time, we're talking about millions and millions and millions of years ago. So piecing this all together is no easy task, certainly. And it is kind of fun for me, and maybe I'm just nerding out, but to see different points of view come to say, no, that's not exactly as distinct as you're making it out to be. We think this is really just a T-Rex at the end of the day. I will say this, because I did spend some time living in Utah, you know, despite being from Wisconsin, spent a couple of years living there, and I visited the Museum of Natural History near the University of Utah, and they have one of the most fascinating collection of dinosaur bones that I've ever seen in my life. Now, maybe it's just because I haven't been to enough museums around the world where this stuff exists, but walking through there, they've got T-Rex reassembled, all the bones that were found. Utah was a big site as well for excavation and archaeological digs, things of that nature. And to see these things fully assembled and the size is just mesmerizing. I mean, if you're a fan of dinosaurs at all, or just thinking about what may have once taken place here on this earth, it's pretty wild. So again, when you hear things like this and see scientists debating the facts and what may have actually gone down, it's I'm here for it. Let's say that, Reg.
Yeah, and I can see some of the skepticism on this when the fact that they made all these conclusions on an incomplete skull and jaw fossil. I mean, you're making a lot of conclusions off of not even just a partial dinosaur, a partial head of the dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
Which also, I don't know if you knew this a lot of times, with the T-Rex fossils that you see in museums, usually the head that's on them is a fake version or a replicated version because the head is too heavy to be held by the rest of the fossils there. The skull, when it's in actual in its bone or stone state or whatever, is too heavy, so they have to make something lighter to put up there.
Interesting. Not sure if that's the case in Utah or not. I didn't read anything about that, but they also have an area where you can see people like working on new specimens that have been pulled from the ground. They're cleaning. It's behind glass. It's either way, I would recommend anyone who's in the Salt Lake City area visiting or otherwise, if that's something that you find to be interesting, go see it. Because I can tell you, having grown up in the Midwest, I don't recall anything that rivaled what I saw at the Museum of Natural History in Salt Lake City.
You do have the Field Museum in Chicago, which holds Sioux, which I believe is one of the most complete fossils for a T-Rex out there. That's where I learned about the skull being in a separate area, because they usually have her skull somewhere else. There you can see like the teeth marks where she was attacked or had injuries over time. It's quite fascinating to see.
Oh, it's all pretty wild. Yeah. We'll have to do a little more research on that. I pulled up a video here from the Salt Lake. You got mastodons, you've got massive alligators, in addition to all the dinosaurs that are there. It's, you could spend hours inside something like that and perusing the different fossils.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We're proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
Here's a random This Day in History. On January 16th, 1868, the refrigerator car was patented by William Davis. He was a fish dealer out of Detroit. With limited success, train cars cooled by just ice were used in 1851, but they were only functional in cold weather. When Davis's design came out, it was for year-round transportation, and it was to transport highly perishable fruits like strawberries and peaches, but of course ended up being used for fish around the Great Lakes region as well. The boxcar used a frozen mixture of ice and salt to keep it cool. The patent rights ended up being sold to George H. Hammond, a Detroit meat packer, who used the cars to ship products to Boston for sale. The original design did have some flaws, though, as the metal racks that were suspended above the cooling mixture during travel, it caused some derailments with them moving around so much. However, Gustavus Swift improved upon the design with the help of engineer Andrew Chase. That wasn't the only struggle that it had before the cooling car was actually used. When Swift tried to sell his design to major railroad companies, they refused because they had a lot of business tied up in transferring live animals to be slaughtered. Swift ended up financing the initial product run on his own and finally ended up getting contracts with GTR, a railroad that had minimal income from transporting animals. In 1880, the Swift refrigerator line, or SRL, was created within a year. SRL was delivering 3,000 carcasses a week to Boston. I guess you could say that's a pretty cool story, Marcus.
Rimshot.
No rimshot.
Well, it is kind of neat. I mean, when you think about what that meant to society at large, the ability to transport perishables that great of a distance and bringing different foods to people around the country, of course, and where things progressed from there. Yeah, it is pretty wild because nowadays, of course, we know we've talked about it. I live in Las Vegas. You can get, no, it's not like living on the coast. Nothing is going to be like that. But they do fly in fresh seafood from preeminent destinations every day. And this is sort of a precursor to that, the ability to be able to bring those things in so that people can enjoy them all over the country and in the world in some cases.
I can't imagine not getting fresh fruit and vegetables in winter. In a place like Wisconsin, you have to rely on some of the warmer states to get those, you know, the strawberries, the lettuce and stuff like that isn't going to grow in winter. So we need that transportation. And obviously, In steps like this, that's what made it possible.
Yeah, I want lettuce on my burger, Reggie. I don't care if it's December.
Yeah. And you know, as much as I do love strawberries, I still probably usually only buy them in summer because by wintertime, they get way too expensive. It's a good way to end Cool Stuff Ride Home with a story about cooling cars. I'm Reggie Rizzu along with Marcus Paff. If you want to email us, coolstuffcommute@gmail.com. You can write us, complain about bad jokes or interesting stories, whichever you prefer to go with. You can also follow us on Facebook and Instagram. We'll be back with another edition of Cool Stuff Ride Home tomorrow.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Mail checks, invoices, documents, and everything you need to keep your business running. Get rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS. And with the mobile app, you can take care of mailing on the go. Make the same no-brainer decisions as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.